This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The ransom, the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal. Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn,
flaming hot like Frito chips, your beer cups just came to kick it hard. Baby, phone been crazy lately. Do it in the wind and now it's gone. I feel a little lighter. What is my lighter? And how I'm gone like the Joker. Spit some more. Anywho, trust if people wanna reach you, then they will. Mama said, drop your bags, wipe your bad. You is the bag. You can't be taking that. You probably got my back. My flow is like this shit.
I have no idea what she be saying, but that drink goes so hard, man. I do not own the rights to that music. Do that disclaimer real quick. Trying to set the mood. But anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pan Society. And I must start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and listen to my random ramblings. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and that does mean a lot to me. It really does. I'm starting to realize that there are a lot of people, a plethora, if I can use that word, a plethora of people that actually do fuck with me. And it means everything. I go through periods where, you know, I think everybody does this, where I feel like nobody cares and shit like that. And starting to realize that usually in those times, there is a specific person that I want to care or I want feedback from or something, and I'm not getting it from them, and that turns into nobody. But at almost all times, it's a large group of people that really do rock with me, and I love y'all for that. Man, speaking of that, one of the things I love the most about like the podcast community is that it's just so much, you know, camaraderie and like working together. It's not a lot of competition. It's a, you know, how can we all win type situation. So I've been doing a lot of guest spots recently. I've been on Raw Assassins, or I've recorded a couple of episodes for Raw Assassin for the All on the Table podcast. If you hadn't had a chance to check him out, you know, please do. I know I got at least one, probably two up right now, and it may be like 2-3 more coming. So be on the lookout for those. I just recorded with Dremo of the Psychopath podcast. I did a episode of her show. That should be coming, I think, next week. So, you know, I'll be sure to let you know when it drops, but I'm just giving you the heads up. It's going to be a lot of flan coming in the weeks ahead. A lot of flan. Also, my man DC from the What the Shit podcast, they are doing a march to the record books. They're trying to break the record for the longest video podcast ever. So it's Martin Luther King Day weekend. So I think that's starting on the 14th. And I don't know how long it's going. I think my time slot doesn't come until the 16th. So that just shows you, you know, how long this thing is going to rock for. But it's going to be podcasters coming in and out, live video podcasts, and we're going to be going for it as long as we possibly can, and it's all for charity. So I'll have more details on that, you know, as I receive them. But if you're gonna look out for that now and check out the What the Shit podcast. I've been on All on the Table with him, and dude is dope. So, you know, please check out all these podcasts, every podcast you can. Like, they all dope in my opinion. Whatever we creating, and that shit is dope. But other than that, other than all the guest spots and stuff like that, it's been a pretty uneventful weekend, uneventful week for that case. Really don't have a Chef Elise report, but I will play the sound effect.
Out of Pepe!
Because I still am, and I love that shit. So don't got a lot to say about Chef Elise this week. See, I had to try to figure out like what I was going to do this week, and, you know, my apologies, but I got to hit you with a DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Yeah, we're going to do another questions episode this week. That's what's going to be. But before I get into that, I do want to do this real quick. I don't think I have mentioned in quite a while on this show just how much I hate the Cowboys. Like, I fucking hate the Cowboys. It's for life. I was talking to Chad today, and I told him, like, I want "Fuck the Cowboys" written on my tombstone. Like, that's how deep it goes. If I get to heaven and I see Troy Aikman behind the gates, I'm turning around. Like, it's just that serious. Like, and this weekend was just another example of, like, why I hate these motherfuckers. Like, so I think I told y'all, like, me and Chad been betting on games. We've been betting on games, you know, all season. And, like, just, like, friendly bets. Like, we bet, like, who gonna pay for lunch type shit. Like, that's what we bet. But these lunches is getting expensive and crazy. And I think I started out the season winning. We bet on the Cowboys-Tampa Bay game, and I got that one. And then I've been on a losing streak, just crazy losing streak. And I paid for enough lunches and dinners. I'm done. But we saw this game at the beginning of the year. We knew week 18, last week of the season, Cowboys and Commanders will be playing. You know, of course, you know, I'm from the DMV. I am a born and raised Redskin, Washington football team, Commanders fan, whatever you want to call them. And usually these, you know, last week of the season divisional games are important, competitive. So we was looking forward to this one. And then leading up to it, it looked like, you know, we had a chance for the entire NFC East to make the playoffs, and that it really would have been a meaningful game this week. But then, you know, Washington does what we always do, and we fade. We don't win the games that we should win, and we win games that we shouldn't win. Just crazy shit. So really coming into this one, it was meaningless, and took some of the fun out of it. But yo, so Chad was hitting me up trying to get me to bet on this game. I already knew it was a meaningless game, and then I found out we were starting our third string rookie quarterback. So I'm like, man, no way in hell I'm taking this bet. No way in hell I'm taking this bet. I'm looking at that Cowboy defense. I'm looking at that offense. I'm looking at the fact that we gave up 20 points to the Browns, 20 plus points to the Browns the week before. We starting a rookie quarterback behind a questionable offensive line. Sorry, I'm getting like deep in the weeds in the sports shit, but it was a lot of reasons why there was no fucking way I was taking this bet. He was trying to talk me into it all week. Other Cowboy fans, everybody. And so I spent the majority of the week like bigging up the Cowboys, talking about pretty much how much better they were than us and how it would make no sense for me to take that bet. None whatsoever. I was prepared to not even watch. I had no plans on watching the game today. So I'm like, I don't even want to see this. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's gonna be crazy. I sat down to watch the game, and I don't know what it felt like, the Twilight Zone. It felt like the fucking Twilight Zone. I never seen a team with their starters playing, with everything to play for. I don't know what that was, man. It looked like two high school teams playing. And so we won. We won like, what, 26-6 or something like that. And there's no joy in it for me. There's no joy in it for me whatsoever. Can't brag about the win because it was really a meaningless game, even though we did beat their starters. Like, they going to the playoffs, so we're going to be watching them from the couch next week. So if you try to throw that in a Cowboy fan face that they lost, it's like, who the fuck cares? And then the only thing, like, this was the one time where them winning, you know, would have made me feel better. Like, it would have proved my point of what I've been saying all week. You know, it made me feel like I didn't miss out. I didn't leave money on the table by not taking these bets. And it's the one time I needed them to just have a decent game, like just play like a normal professional football team. I feel like it was personal. I feel like they did it because I refused to bet against them. I said, all right, we're going to teach you. We're going to lay an egg at this, you know, in this week 18 game. So, yeah, I fuck the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys, man. I just needed to get that off my chest. I apologize to people who don't follow sports and don't care. But this is my show and I do what I want to do. But anyway, let's get into what I said we're going to do. We're going to do another one.
Another one.
We're going to do the questions.
How come the industry build careers that don't lie?
How come niggas don't know, but they front and don't ask? Man, I don't know.
It's the questions. It's the questions. It's the questions.
How come niggas don't know, but they front and don't ask? We need to work on that one. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to see how many of these joints I can get through. We're not going to take too much time. I'm not going I'm not gonna hold you. I heard that a lot this week doing my guest spot, so I'm gonna try to be cool and black and use that shit. I ain't gonna hold you. Let's see. Question number one. Which of your personality traits would you like to change? I actually got two. This is a good one. I got two. So one, and most people don't know this about me. I'm petty. But beyond being petty, I have what you call a toilet paper list. And this is not an original thing. I get this from my mom. I got this from my mom. She is the creator, the originator of the toilet paper list. And I've like inherited this personality trait. And basically what the toilet paper list is I consider myself a pretty nice guy. I'm a very nice guy. Loving, giving, you know, I'm generous. You know, I want to take care of people. I want to do for people. I befriend people that other people won't be friends with. And I usually learn why somewhere down the line. But anyway, I consider myself a really nice person. I try to be really nice. Try to be forgiving, understanding, all that kind of stuff. But there's a limit. And when you hit that limit, you end up on the toilet paper list, which means I can wipe my ass with you. I step over you in the street. Like, you just, man, you dead to me. You don't exist. Like, dead to me sounds harsh, but it's kind of how I feel. And it's crazy because, like, you know, because I'm as nice as I am, that's how people see me. Most people, the only people that believe I have a toilet paper list, even though I tell people about this concept prior to them landing on it, but the only people who believe I really do have a toilet paper list are the people on it. Who know that they have no access to me ever again in life at any point for anything. And I don't know. I kind of do wish I could change that, because it's not even a choice. It's just like, you know, you hit this point, you did this thing, and that's it. You X'd out. And I feel that way because, like, I give you the cheat codes. I would tell you how to lie to me. I would tell you how to get over on me. I'd tell you what not to do. That kind of thing. If you just stay out of these lanes, if you don't do these things, I tell people, I trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. You know, don't volunteer information, stuff like that. And then it's always somebody volunteers information. That's a lie. I tell you the reason I don't want you to volunteer information is because it makes me, you know, suspicious of you. But people volunteer information. They tell me shit I ain't asked them. Turns out to be a lie. Now you done lied to me. I tell you that when you lie to me, it makes me feel like you think I'm stupid. And that's like my pet peeve. I hate people treating me like I'm stupid. And so, yeah, man, it's like I tell you how not to push these buttons. So when you push them, it feels like purposeful. And it's an automatic response. It's not even a choice. You just get cut off. And I kind of wish I could change that. And it's messed up, because the reason I wish I could change that is also petty. Because I would rather like kill him with kindness. I would rather like, you think you got over on me, and I'm gonna let you know that I know what you did, and I'm still gonna love you and treat you the same way and make you feel like more of an ass because, you know, you tried to pull this bullshit with somebody, you know, that's this decent of a person. So I really wish I could do that, so I could rub salt in the wound a little bit more. You won't ever get nothing from me ever again. But we could still be cool. But as it stands now, we can't. And so for all the people on the toilet paper list who weren't, you know, who didn't understand how they ended up in the situation that they ended up in, there you go. The other personality trait I wish I could change is I've been told, I'm coming around to believing that I'm a perfectionist. And I'm not a perfectionist in the sense that I'm like a neat freak or... you know, like I work really hard at things. I'm not studious, so none of them weird adjectives or whatever. But I just expect things to be a certain way. I expect rules to be followed. When they don't get followed, or like I get irked, and I find it hard to function in situations where people don't adhere to the rules and stuff like that. And then I also like today, I wanted to do something fun. You know, I've been listening to a lot of music lately, you know. Been feeling that itch to rhyme again, and my man sent me some beats, and I had wrote some shit, and I wanted to like drop some bars of my own for the intro song, and it just didn't go like exactly how I wanted it to go. It didn't sound perfect, and because I'd rather not give you nothing than to give you some something I ain't happy with. But the problem is that I'm usually not happy with anything, so you never get nothing. That's how we ended up here. So I'm a washed up rapper. But anyway, that's the answer to that question. Let's see. What we got next? What fashion trend you followed was very cool, but now looks ridiculous? Man, I ain't never really been that kind of person. I never been like the fashion trend dude. One, because, you know, my mom was broke and she wasn't really into that. Now, I had the kind of mom, like, I remember one time that there used to be a thing where, like, you could buy the little Guess patch. You could buy the patch that they put on the back of jeans that say Guess. And so my mom would be like, I'll buy you some Wranglers. And then we just sew that patch on the back and they look like Guess jeans. That's about as close as you're going to get. But yeah, man, I can't think. I say this, and this is probably the origins of me being the whitest black man a lot of people know. I grew up during the Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris era. And there was some times where I tried to emulate that. I used to try to wear like the baggy socks and the, what is it, like the pants that with the spandex or the elastic at the bottom and shit like that, and LA gears and stuff. And yeah, like growing up in DC and going to like schools in Southeast, ain't really go over well. It didn't really help in terms of my social status. So I only think it looked cool then, but it definitely looks ridiculous now. So that's what I'm gonna go with. See, next question. What we got? What did you get in trouble for when you were young? Every motherfucking thing. Everything. I was not a good kid. I was not. I was very good at being good in public. And so, like, teachers and anybody that my mom would try to complain to about me, like, it's like, nah, that's not him. He don't do that. He wouldn't act like that. Like, they would almost think my mom was lying about me because it just was so far-fetched that at home I was this demon. But it was never, I was just mischievous. I like to tinker with stuff. I like to experiment. I put like lotion in my sister's goldfish tank. Not because I was trying to kill her fish. I don't know what I was trying to do, but I needed to know what was going to happen. Yeah, fish that. I think the worst one, and this is one that carries on today. I've talked about it before on the show, but I feel the need to bring it up again because I've been doing these guest spots and there have been a lot of, the word bitch has been said a lot on these shows. And if you go back and you watch any of these guest spots that I'm on, just see that I never say it. I still have a thing with that word. I called my sister a bitch like when I was 10 or 11 years old. I don't remember how old I was, but I just remember I got my ass whipped by every female family friend, family member. It was like a week long just ass whipped. Just every time somebody heard the story again, that was another ass whooping. I'm traumatized. There's trauma behind that shit. But that's something I definitely got in trouble for when I was young. Listening to too much rap music. I think I was quoting the Ice Cube line at the time. Anyway, is justice or forgiveness more important? Man, I've learned this in the last couple of years because that perfectionist side of me wants justice. You know, if I feel I was wronged, if I feel like you broke the rule, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and you was not doing what you were supposed to do, and somehow I got negatively impacted, I want my 7 pounds of flesh. Like, I need my retribution. And I will sabotage and do destructive things to myself in an attempt to try to punish you for whatever it is, you know, that I feel like you did. Like, I don't care if it hurts me. We're going to figure out a way that you pay for what you did. And that's, you know, it's not the way to be. So justice is cool. You know, you want justice, but I think that's living in like an idealistic mindset. You know, when I got to rehab, one of the things I hated more than anything is that they wouldn't let you say should or suppose. You know, anytime you tried to, you know, base your argument on what somebody should have done or what's supposed to happen, they just like cut you off immediately, like not even listen to you. And I hate getting cut off. So that shit drove me crazy. But what they was trying to teach me is that, you know, what should happen and what's supposed to happen may or may not happen. And if you can't, you know, if you can't continue being who you need to be or doing the right thing or, you know, living your life because something that wasn't supposed to happen happened, you know, you're going to be behind the eight ball. That's a hard life because you can't control. You can't make what should happen happen. It doesn't happen quite often. So justice is cool, but I think forgiveness allows you to live. And right now I'm focused on, you know, trying to live and be happy. And forgiveness gives me that. So that's my answer to that one. Let's see. That was deep. Anyway, what's the scariest movie of all time? Man, I don't like horror movies. I don't understand you weirdos who pay to be scared. Like, that shit just doesn't make sense to me. Makes zero sense. Why would you pay to feel that way? I don't want to pay to feel that way. You know, I know where I can go be scared for free. I can turn down the wrong street and we can have a horror movie right there and ain't nobody had to pay nothing. But I don't get horror movies. I don't get them. What's the scariest movie of all time? I don't know. I can't even think of one because I don't watch them shits. I hate horror movies. Like, don't even. That's the next question. Bullshit ass. Anyway, which language would you like to speak fluently? Man, I want to say something cool like Japanese or German or something, but it's probably Spanish. I live in Texas. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go certain places and people could, you know. I'm one of the black people that believe if you speak in another language in front of me, you're talking about me. And I hate that shit. So it'd be like, it'd be Spanish or it'd be, man, I feel like I'm about to fuck up. I don't want to say Indian because I feel like that's not the name of the language. But whatever language they speak in India, I would like to understand how to speak that one. Because those are probably the people I'm around the most and that like have conversations in their language in front of me. And it pisses me off. So, yeah, there's your answer to that one. We'll be zipping through these. We're only going to do a couple more. What are your simple pleasures? Man, the thing I love more than anything, not more than anything, but the thing I really like that I've been doing a lot of recently that just I have figured out is just one of the simple joys in life for me is crackers and peanut butter. Man, if you buy me some peanut butter, if it's extra crunchy, like we probably gonna be friends for life. If it's creamy or something like that, you know, you can come by, you can hang out for a little bit. You gotta leave when it's done. But yeah, some extra crunchy peanut butter and some Ritz crackers. Gotta be real. I mean, I do saltines if we on a budget, but you know, Ritz crackers and peanut butter, that's my shit right there. Love it to death. Anyway. Next question. What was the best vacation you ever took? Man. Two come to mind and they were both with my ex-wife, which is weird. I'm gonna go with this one because it's got my favorite story to tell anybody that I meet. Like, I love meeting new people that know my ex-wife because it gives me an opportunity to tell this story over and over again. And again, add this to the list of reasons why I'm probably divorced, because I took so much joy in telling this story in her face over and over again every time I met somebody that knew her for the first time. But we was in New Orleans. We went to New Orleans for a Dwele concert. Probably one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Dwele was there. And I think he had just done a show in like Houston. And when he looked in the crowd, he saw a lot of people from the Houston show. This is not the story, by the way. He saw a lot of people from the Houston show in the crowd. It was one of those real small venues where he probably could see everybody. So he decided he wasn't doing... There's no way he could do the same set that he just did in Houston that they already saw. So he just had people throw out songs from his album. And the band would like, these might not have been songs they were prepared to play, but they would sit there and like figure it out on the spot and like perform the song on the fly. And it was just, it's crazy dope. Greatest, one of the best concerts. I won't say the greatest, but one of the best concerts I've ever been to. But anyway, we're in New Orleans and we got this hotel like right off the French Quarter. And so we walking around where they were doing the sightseeing thing. We decided to take a horse carriage tour of the French Quarter. It's probably like noonish, and we were in Louisiana around like summertime, like in the middle of the summertime, like July, you know, whatever. It's super hot is what I'm trying to say. It's crazy hot. So we take this horse carriage tour of the French Quarter. You know, so we out in the elements. When we get off the thing, super hot. You know, need something to drink, something to cool down. So I find a little dude selling shit on the side of the road and go up to him. I get some water You know, she wants some sort of like ice cream or something like that. So this dude, you know, he has a little cooler. He opens it up, lifts up the dry ice he got on top. And she sees a strawberry popsicle right there that she wants. So she gets a strawberry popsicle. I turn around to pay the man. When I turn back around, my wife had already like ripped the wrapper off the popsicle. And she's like jammed it halfway in her mouth. But it was directly under the dry ice. So the popsicle is so cold that her lips froze around the popsicle. Like the dude on A Christmas Story that stuck his tongue to the pole. Like, exactly what the fuck happened. So when I turned around, she's trying to get the popsicle out of her mouth. And I'm thinking, like, this $10,000 America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, I try to reach for my camera and she give me that look. Like, you know, we can get divorced today if that's what you're trying to do. So anyway, I ended up having to use my water to, like, pour it over her lips and the popsicle and like pry her lips off the popsicle. That, you know, the dude just sold it to us, he don't know whether to laugh or help. It was crazy. And then what makes it worse, two things make it worse. What makes it worse is that, one, after we ripped her lips off this popsicle, she ate it anyway. And then two, the next day her lips were burned, you know, from the cold, and had you know, blistered and swollen up to the point that she couldn't speak. So now we in the airport, you know, trying to maneuver around and get home. And she's, you know, she's trying to tell me things. So she was the person that normally made our travel plans. And, you know what I'm saying? I was one of those dudes. Just like, you tell me where to go, where to be. I don't know shit. I'm stupid. Like, just, you know, you run the show for shit like that. And so we're in the airport. And she's trying to tell me stuff, but she can't really talk. So she's just, and I'm like, what, girl? Timmy's in a well? What? Like, another reason that we probably divorced. But, you know. One of my favorite stories. So that's maybe my favorite vacation. It was like a quick weekend trip to New Orleans, but it was memorable. Let's see, we might do like two more. Let's see. Which country did your family come from? I feel like that's a trick question. I feel like that's a trick. We're going to skip that. How far back you want me to go? We're going to skip that one. I get that a lot, though. I used to get that from like the Egyptians and stuff that would be in D.C. Like, I guess they felt like I looked Egyptian or something. So they would ask me where I was from. I'd be like, I'm from here. And they'd be like, well, where are your parents from? I'm like, from here. I'm like, no, but where are they from originally? I'm like, from here, motherfucker. Like, what? I don't speak the language. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm American. Anyway, what remains undone that you've wanted to get done for years? First thing that comes to mind is the book. I started writing the book in rehab. And so I was in rehab for 45 days, and then 45 days, I probably wrote like 60 pages. 60 pages, yeah, like 60 pages. I forget how many words it was. So I felt like, you know, I had a pretty good foundation for a book, and I don't think I've written 60 pages additional to that in the 3 years that I've been out of rehab, so almost four. So I'm working on it, though. It's coming. Let's see. What's the funniest advice your mother gave you? Man, I don't know. Like, my mom is hilarious, and it's usually because she's not trying to tell a joke. She's just blunt, and she's just hilarious to me. Funniest advice my mother ever gave me. I don't know. This is the only one I could think of. She used to tell me, "You know what they call people who use condoms? Parents." So basically, she was trying to tell me like abstinence, like just don't. Don't fuck at all. It was like, you know, condoms are not foolproof. So she was like, yeah, people who use condoms become parents too. So that was her, you know, that was her advice. Let's see. I think we got time for one more, and I'm gonna call it quits. Of course, it got to be a long one. Would you rather meet your great grandparents or your great grandchildren? Man, that's a tough one. I mean, I'd love to meet them both. Both of my grandfathers, we didn't know where they were, or were dead before I was born. So I never met either one of them. So like, great grandparents would be cool. But man, I think my great grandchildren would be the one I prefer to meet. Like, I want to see how the Flan legacy lives on. I want to see if people are still saying, don't thank me, thank God, you know, a couple generations from now. I want to see how this podcast, how it resonates to them. Like, if for them having a record of like their great grandfather's voice and his thoughts and opinions, if it means anything to them, you know, sort of the reason why I do it, you know, so that when I'm not here, my daughter will always have like this, she'll get to know me as an adult, you know, even if I'm not around. She'll get to know, you know, who I was beyond just dad. So I think that would be the dope thing. All right, we're going to leave it at that. If you made it this far, you're the real MVP. Hopefully some of that was entertaining, poignant, funny. I don't know. I try. As usual, you know, please check out the merch store. Hit up whatistws.com/store. Get your TWS merch. It is still hoodie season, so coupon code HOODIESZN will get you 20% off your entire order. Dope merch up there. I think all my stuff is cool. And, you know, you can help me take Chefy Lee's to Disney World or some shit like that. That's where the money would go, I promise. Other than that, like I said, I got a lot of guest spots coming up. So please be on the lookout for that. I'll make sure to let you know where they're going to be. Check out those podcasts, All on the Table, Psychopath, and the What the Shit podcast. Probably some, you know, some that I'm forgetting right now from other people that I've been on shows with, but I'll be sure to shout them out as I remember. I'm slow. Don't judge me. Other than that, if you like what you heard here, man, please, you know, leave a review, share this with your friends, talk about it at the water cooler, whatever. If you didn't like it, leave a review. Tell me why it's fucked up, that I'm boring, something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some days I'll be wanting to quit, you know, thinking that the show sucks, but I just need somebody to tell me it sucks so I can be like, there's my evidence. So if you got it, give it to me. I'd appreciate it. But anyway, either way, you know, with that being said, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, be careful what popsicles you get from right under dry ice, because you don't want to end up like that. It was hilarious, but I'm pretty sure it was painful. And I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.